Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the teleconference where Mr. Jean-Pascal Bobtz, Chief Executive Officer of Bobtz Group, will be discussing the group's 2012 half-year financial results. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for the interest you show in our company by attending this telephone conference. Its purpose is to comment on the Bobtz Group first half-year results 2012 and give you additional comments about the company situation over the first six months, as well as the outlook for the second half of 2012. With me today, Attilio Titti, our Chief Financial Officer, and Joseph Santoro, our Investor Relations Manager. The press release, which was issued this morning, and the half-year report can also be found on our internet website. You have all received it and had a chance to review it. The first semester results are heavily impacted by the very unbalanced year generated by an extremely low start in 2012 and the effect of the drupa show in May. After a very successful exhibition, strong order entries were registered in the last few months, which will create a very busy second half 2012. We can confirm our guidance for the full year 2012 as follows. While the turnover will be higher than 1.2 billion Swiss franc, the operating profit and the net results should be at the same level compared to 2011. We will structure the conference in four sections. First, the group sales and operating results. Second, the macro analysis per business unit. Third, regions evolution and group transformation program. Finally, the outlook 2012. The first section about group sales and operating results. Consolidated sales for the first six months of 2012 amounted to 532.9 million Swiss francs, representing a decrease of 29.3 million or -5.2% compared with the same period in 2011. This evolution was due to the following factors: evolution of volume, -23.7 million or -4.2%. Evolution of exchange rate, -5.6 million Swiss francs or -1%. By business unit, compared to the 2011 half-year figures, sales reached 86.3% for business unit Sheetfed, 111.4% for business unit Webfed, and 95.8% for business unit Services. The operating loss amounted to 23.4 million Swiss francs versus the loss of 24.2 million Swiss francs for the same period in 2011. The improvement is due to the impact of the group transformation program, offset partially through lower sales and an unfavorable product mix. Less Sheetfed overall, with more entry-level machines of business unit Webfed and less Services. The first half year includes the one-time costs of the drupa exhibition, as well as one-time revenue of 6.7 million Swiss francs granted by the Swiss authorities to support the Bobtz Apprenticeship Center. The net loss amounted to 31.2 million Swiss francs, favorably influenced by tax income in the amount of 3.1 million Swiss francs. I will now go on the second section, which will give you some details for each business unit regarding market situation, turnover, and operating results evolutions. The business unit Sheetfed. Overall business activities and order intake was quite different for folding carton and corrugated board, each region having a different situation. North America remained stable at a good level of activity, while Western Europe still suffers from a depressed economic environment. caused by the sovereign debt problems. In China, as well as in other emerging countries, the slowdown in economic growth was also noticed in the machine industry, resulting in a slight decrease in order compared to the first half of 2011. The volume has reduced by 35.6 million or minus 13.7% compared to H1 2011. This is due to the particular low backlog at the beginning of January and to the Drupa effect in the months before May 2012. Business unit Schibsted expects a sales volume slightly lower than 2011 for the full year, implying a very high level of activity in all production sites during the second half of 2012. Gordon Ltd. in Hong Kong is developing its activities as planned. It has extended the group's product range in other market segments. The move from Puy to May, Switzerland, is well on track, and most of the employees and manufacturing equipment are now installed in the new premises. The move will be completed by end of 2012 as planned. During first quarter 2013, full dismantling of the pre-manufacturing site will take place. In parallel, the SAT restructuring program launched last November 2011 is being executed as planned. The operating results amount to minus 37.6 million Swiss francs. Even if the group transformation program is on track, its positive impact was offset by lower sales, by the influence of short time week of 30% for the first semester, by an unfavorable product mix, and by the one-time Drupa costs. I will move now to the business unit Webfed. In mature markets, the demand for flexible packaging is growing. This growth is largely compensated by the productivity improvements of the latest generation of machines, while in emerging countries, an increasing requirement for capacity has created a demand for flexible production equipment, which can allow companies to rapidly boost their volumes at the best cost-performance ratio. This leads machine suppliers to pursue a strategy of volumes to the detriment of margins. The volume has increased by 14.4 million Swiss francs, or plus 11.4%, compared to the first semester of 2011, in line with expectations. The full year will be somewhat lower than 2011 due to product mix. The operating result amounts to The operating result amounts to 7.6 million Swiss francs. This increase is the result of the sustained effort and investment of business unit Webfed in lean production, common machine platform, and operation excellence. Common modules within flexographic printing, gravure printing, and laminating result in a unique offer and a greater synergy. We'll move now to the business unit service. Many European markets are weaker than in the previous year, reflecting the low growth in European economies and big uncertainty. We see, however, a steady demand for business unit service products in North America, mainly for those improving machine productivity. In Asia, we can detect decelerating growth compared to 2011, although business potential is still great. Volume has reduced by 7.3 million or minus 4.2% compared to first semester 2011. The inferior level of activity was due to a lower demand in the Eurozone. We expect an improvement during the second half of 2012. This is a long journey, and business unit services will continue to focus on improving its global offering to customers with tailor-made service agreements. The operating results amount to 6.7 million Swiss francs. This decrease of 9.1 million is due to lower volume, to a difference in product mix between parts and service, as well as to parts mix. What do we mean? We mean parts mix, meaning the ratio between captive parts and consumable parts. The parts basically we do in-house and the parts we purchase as a consumable. We also have to take into account the higher costs incurred by the field technicians hiring program and the training program to build our service organization and the one-time cost of Drupa. Now I will touch about the third section, which is regions evolution. Consolidated sales for the first 6 months of 2012 amounted to 532.9 million Swiss francs, representing a decrease of 29.3 million minus 5.2% compared with the same period in 2011. By region, Europe has lost 72.6 million or minus 24.8% due to the unstable economy. America remains stable at a good level and gained 0.7 million as restored consumer confidence helped the economy. The market activity has been good in the recent quarters. Although growth in China is slowing down, Asia and Oceania have gained 44.9 million mainly due to the good performance of Gordon and to entry-level product from Box. Africa has lost 2.3 million Swiss francs as the consequence of the Arab Spring are being felt with customer reluctance to invest. The group transformation program is on track. The first semester results have been impacted by a very particular business situation for 2012, which we will try to summarize in 3 points. First point. We see several elements creating a financial cost impact in Lausanne, Switzerland. The move from pre to May, the short time week of 30%, the headcount reductions as well as the inventory reductions have generated less hours for the manufacturing activities. This very particular situation was well managed from a human perspective, but had some exceptional impact on the efficiency and cost side. Second point, margin has been improved, however, at a lower level than expected due to very challenging market conditions in Europe. Third point, in May, the group transformation is well underway. The ongoing footprint definition has some impact on our P&L and 2.5 million Swiss francs of asset impairment are included in our first semester results 2012. And now finally the outlook for the full year 2012. We estimate that sales for the full year 2012 will exceed 1.2 billion Swiss francs and the operating profit and net results should be at the same level compared to 2011 at current exchange rates. Most of the deals from Drupa have been transformed into orders. This will lead to a very busy second half of 2012. The group continues to implement its strategy, which is to innovate, to increase its presence in growing markets, to increase the performance of its services, and to improve its operation excellence in order to ensure sustainable profitability. However, the global economy remains very fragile, and no one can predict beyond a few months ahead. The exchange rate continues to put pressure on our business, and things do not seem to improve. We must pursue our group transformation program to keep a tight control on costs, cash management, and inventories at the right speed and with the adequate leadership. To conclude, we would like to highlight the following key points. The very unbalanced load between first and second semester 2012 has a negative impact on the full year results. We confirm a good level of activities in the packaging industry, where the group can demonstrate its technical leadership. the group transformation program is on track. Thank you for your attention, and we are now ready to answer your questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you wish to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. We will take the questions in the order received and will take as many as time permits. Right, the first question is from Patrick Raffaith from SCTAB Zurich. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, it's Patrick Raffaith. It's actually von Tobel. Few questions. First, on WebFeds, you're guiding for slightly lower turnover in the full year despite a good growth in the first half. You mentioned product mix. Can you shed a bit more light on that? What's exactly happening? Because second half sales should be down quite significantly than in the prior year comparison. And second question on EBIT for services, the drop was quite astonishing. You mentioned a few facts which drove that deterioration. What are your expectations here now for the second half and for 2013? How fast can you get that EBIT margin for services back up? Because, I mean, the volume decline wasn't that big on the top line. And then lastly, do these results have any implications for your midterm guidance? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Raffaele, for your question. I will take the first one about the WebFed guidance for the turnover. When I say slightly lower than 2011, is mainly today we do have enough projects on hand and opportunities. However, as we are selling more and more of these machines in, I would say, growing markets, growing countries, we have some uncertainty still today where we can sell those machines or ship this machine to turn that into a turnover. So, in fact, this is the risk management. And as you know, some of these equipments might be between 4 and 9 million euro just for one piece. And if we have one or two of these units which we miss for this year, then quickly we will be lower than our targets, of course, we have internally. From the product mix, this is exactly that. We are launching, and we launch in Drupa the first Flexo Box 26, 8 and 10 colors, which is a medium segment machine. This machine is sold very well. However, for quality reasons, we have postponed a little bit the launch and delivery of some of these machines, and therefore we will see if we can catch up by the end of this year or not. Due to the two reasons, we have some risks, and that's why we gave a lower guidance compared to an 11 turnover. I will give the word for the service EBIT evolution to Attilio Tisi. What I can say overall for the service. The service activity is a strategical development for the group, and we remain focused on these developments. Yes, we were disappointed with the first half-year results of service activities. However, we know exactly where the turnover was not made, and this is surprisingly due in the region in Europe. The Eurozone is a very challenging topic for us because you have some countries with still a lot of activities. Our customers are well are busy and well loaded. However, due to local and countries' bad mood or bad motivation, we can see a drop in service agreements or a slowdown in their desire to continue to develop service with us. It's not a loss of market share, but it's a postponement of some activities. The good news in service, we have seen a few hundreds of new contracts signed in Europe in order to increase this productivity, and we should see this pickup second half and first quarter of next year. That's why we are in this turnover guidance for service at the same level compared to last year, this is what we are targeting for. Attilio from the EBIT.
Good afternoon, Mr. Raffes. So to explain the delta you have seen, the 9 million in the EBIT margin. So first of all, you have seen the reduction in turnover, which as BU Services has a higher profitability margin than the others, has a quite significant impact. On the other side, as already mentioned by Mr. Bob, we had profit-wise an unfavorable sales mix within BU Services in the first half, with more in proportion turnover made in services than with spare parts. Spare parts having a much higher margin than the hours we sell. We have also a slightly different mix within the spare parts business, with more consumables sold compared to captive parts. And last but not least, it was also already mentioned, it's the hiring of the new field service technicians, which are on the way to be trained and where we have not yet billable hours in the first half. So for the full year, we see a profitability which will be below the levels you have experienced in 2011, amongst other also because we have the exceptional cost of Drupa, which incur only every 4 years, and where, as you have seen, BU Services had a very important presence on our booth. So a lower profitability for BU Services for the complete year with a catch-up then for the future.
Does it answer your question, Mr. Raffel?
Yes, thank you, but can you maybe specify a bit more the Drupa costs, how much of that was attributable to services, how much to sheet fed?
So overall, for the Drupa cost, we have reduced, as we said, drastically the global group budget and actuals, in fact, versus 2008. But to give you exactly the spread amongst BU, we'll have to come back. I don't have that by heart.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry for that. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Armin Risbergo from SETKB Zurich. Please go ahead, Armin.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen, first. Again, about the Drupa costs, but can you give us a number for the whole group, how much they were? Then about material costs, they were, for me, a little bit high. Can you elaborate there about the development and what you expect for the future? And then the last question is regarding restatements of EBIT in the business units. You restated first half 2011 and full year 2011. So why was that?
Yes. So to elaborate on the Drupa costs, Drupa cost is certainly, I would say, about mid-double-digit number, mid-single-digit number. Okay, you can count that is for us big investment just for Drupa as an entity and activity in May, but also with the development we had more R&D development, for example, in some products, H1 versus H2. So, in fact, these costs will be more, will be lower during the second semester of the year. For your second question of the restatement, Attilio, you can take this question.
The restatement is actually the third one. We had also the material, we'll come back to it. For the restatement, we have changed two things within our organization. We have introduced service level agreements beginning of this year, and where we have a different cost allocation between the three BUs, and by doing this, IFRS requests that we restate also previous year's numbers. Even though we have only introduced the SLAs this year, for comparison reasons, we had to do exactly the same on the 2011 numbers, both for half year and full year. Mm-hmm. And we, if you look at our P&L, you have one line, which is the spare parts and service contribution. This is a part of the revenue which is allocated to the machine BUs for the right BU services has to exploit the existing machine base, and plus also for some R&D services BU machines still do on this machine park. There we have also changed the internal rule how we allocate this, which made these differences. So this is for the restatement of the numbers, and for the material quote, if you look at it, first of all, this is highly impacted by the product mix. You saw that in proportion we had a higher product mix for BU web-fed products, which have less integral vertical integration than BU sheet-fed. This is one impact, and the line materials and services also include everything we buy. So for instance, the cost for Drupa we had is included in this same line. It's not only the material linked or the direct costs we purchase linked to the sales. That's why it is sometimes difficult to make the ratio like that.
Okay, thank you. One more question, if I may.
Sure.
You're expecting now sales in the second half, or for the full year, more than 1.2 billion. And you say a very busy second half. So am I right if you see a second half higher than the level in the last 2 years, which means more than 708 and 720 even for like in 2010 second half?
The second half will indeed will be very busy. For on one side, to give you an example, for one production plan, we have made only 30% of the activity of the sales during H1, and we will make in fact 70% in H2. So yes, we had, due to the product mix and production centers we are developing, we had a very unbalanced situation. Overall, we will not make more than the numbers you gave. We will be at least, if we take the 530 million we made H1, and we say we'll be higher than 1.2 billion, we'll be, you can count, we'll be 620 plus, or sorry, 670, it will not be 720 or 730.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
But compared to your numbers, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next question is from Caroline Price from Caprice Management Montreal. Please go ahead, Caroline.
Yes, hello. I have three questions. Firstly, you mentioned that you had the short time work week in May for the first half, and you think that you're going to be very busy in the second half. So I'm wondering, first of all, if that that is now, if that short-time work week ended in the first half, and right from the beginning of the second half, you're fully loaded in May, and if we're also even seeing overtime, because I think that's one of the issues which the imbalance causes is the more difficult kind of way to manage the load that sometimes causes the less profitable situation. Yes. And then the second question is about the business mix. It looks like it would improve in the second half, if you could just confirm, because it seems like you would have a higher share of sheet fed and that should positively impact your gross margin, all other things being equal. Are there any other factors we should be aware of impacting on the gross margin in the second half, like trends in material costs? And then thirdly, if I understand correctly, the bulk of the 6.7 million in government support would have been booked as a credit to personnel costs. Could you, in the income statement, could you please confirm that? Thank you.
Thank you very much for your question, Caroline. Starting with the first question, thank you for this remark, because indeed in my comments it's very important to understand the very complex situation we had to manage the first half of this year, and I repeat myself, with the move from pre to May. So we had to, starting last September, to move until the end of this year more than 200 machines to manufacture parts from pre to May. At the same time, since January, we started a short time week by 30%. At the same time, we are reducing the 420 jobs in the same site, and we had to reduce inventory. So you can imagine, with those three major facts in life, that had a special impact on the cost and therefore on the profitability of the site, which is unique. It's unfortunate, but this is unique. So our priorities was really first to deliver quality and machines to our customers, as well as to treat and manage the best way the people during this period of time and the group transformation by the 420 jobs to reduce. So indeed, we started the second semester with a full loaded time. Of course, we are not making short time week anymore. We will make overtime, and in fact, for a few months, 2 months also, we will have some temporary people to compensate and catch up in manufacturing. So, in fact, we are moving from a very low level of activity to a very, very high level of activity for H2. And this creates a very unbalanced situation. But again, our main focus is to guarantee the safety and quality of work for people here, to guarantee the delivery and the quality of our products, to service our customers in a very dedicated way while we continue the group transformation. Your second question on the product mix is indeed, EU Sheetfed will have a much higher activity in H2. Has, as you know, a better gross margin than on the BU web fed. On the gross margin perspective, I can just restate that we have improved our gross margin, but not up to the level we wanted, mainly because in Europe the fight is very, very strong, and we wanted to keep our market share. So yes, we see an improvement, but not to the level we wanted to do. And the third point, we can say that the 6.7 million is in fact in other operating income. And you will see that as a help for the training center, apprenticeship center, and what we call IET. And these 6.7 million are in other operating income.
Okay, thank you for your answers.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Arnaud Cogne from Agassi in Lausanne. Please go ahead, Arnaud.
Alors, thank you, good afternoon. Bonjour messieurs, j'ai deux petites questions. Pourquoi ne pas lisser les résultats et donc ou amortir les coûts de Drupa sur 4 ans, vu que c'est un événement de tous les 4 ans? Et deuxième question, pour quand prévoyez-vous de retrouver la rentabilité opérationnelle?
Merci pour, thank you very much for these questions. The first question, Drupa, of course, all R&D costs and developments, you carry that every year, but the true cost of Drupa as an expense has to be counted when we have Drupa. So you cannot say Drupa will cost you X amount of million, and every year you carry this cost. This, from financial rules, we cannot do it. So we have to imply and affect the costs when it occurs. That means on first semester. Now, from your question, when we will go back to profitability, we gave you clear guidance last December on our 2012, 13, 14, 15, I will say, midterm guidance, and we are still shooting for this guidance. Now, of course, if 2012 will be at might be at the level of 2011, then we will continue our group transformation, and our guidance today are not changing. So we keep the guidance we gave last December in Zurich. Does it answer your question?
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Volkan Gokman from Helvia in Geneva. Please go ahead, Volkan.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question to the sales mix in servicing. Is that something that from half year to half year it fluctuates? Or is it now really related to, let's say, a little bit the more difficult environment? So assuming that then in a way to persist during H2. And the second question is, in that respect, on spare parts, can you observe, let's say in more difficult periods or maybe even as a general trend, that people are using less and less the original spare parts? And if so, then what's the efforts that you're taking to address that? And then the third thing is this overall the sales mix actually balancing over the entire cycle.
Thank you, Mr. Grossman. So taking your first question regarding the service mix H1, H2, we don't see a real shift. It's really in Europe less activities than expected for all reasons. If you take each country, Spain, France, Italy, UK and so on, we had indeed much less requests and activities than expected. So it's not a shift from the product of services itself. If you look at North America, is growing and gaining market share and much more on track. So we do believe that this is really linked to a local or regional environment which is quite difficult. Now, this is linked to your second question because what we see today is, of course, customers running their machines. They are busy and they try to push and push and push as long as possible the machines before, without maintaining proactively and waiting for a break. For example, in 2009, when we had the crisis, we thought, okay, we have a big drop, a huge drop in machine sales, but at least we should remain very stable with service. What we have seen at that time, that we had also a quite substantial drop in service during this period. So it's a question, I guess, of uncertainty and fear from some customers to say, oh, I keep my cash and I see what's going on in the next quarter. Now, what is reassuring is that, as I stated earlier, is that basically today we have two major activities which is underway to be developed. First, we have groups, larger group of customers. Instead of investing in new machines, they come to us and say, now we have an installed base. We would like to replace some of these equipment, maybe with new machines, but for one third maybe, but for the rest, we would like to have retrofit upgrades and service improvements. And we have signed a few of these deals, which in fact will come from a turnover perspective over the next 12 months, because you cannot make everything in one quarter. But we see more and more customers willing and looking for productivity improvement on a very specific basis for their machine installed base in Europe. So it's somewhat of a shift. Less, from one hand, majority, they are less proactive, and from the other side, groups or entities which of customers which have maybe 3, 4, 5 different plants in Europe looking to subcontract these maintenance and come to us. This is a first trend. We don't see a big shift, but certainly very interesting for us for the future. Now, your second question about the mix of parts regarding OEM or going to a third party. There again, our strategy is twofold. First of all, we have a very precise and focused strategy for the pricing. We want to be competitive for all consumable or wear items, such as bearings, belts, and so on, because we know we have local competitors and suppliers. And BOFs want to be between 10 and 15% more expensive than the local one, but no more, otherwise we will not be competitive. And for proprietary parts, there we have some room, and there we can focus also to improve these. Now, we started this program in 2010, and we see good results in adjusting and gaining some market share. But out of the 200,000 parts we have to manage to, in order to support our installed base, this program is not finalized yet, and but for the one we can see today touching, I think it's about 60% we have worked out and adjusted our pricing, we see good results. So those are the major activities from this strategy of pricing. The second, when you say we might see shift from third competitors or third supplier to deliver directly to customers, of course, today with one click you Google and you see rapidly local offering. So our strategy there is to communicate much more with our customers and make price comparison. And each time we visit, each time we go, we try really to document and show our competitiveness, but this is also an education process. Because today, one click or two click, you can find a belt or bearing, looks like very attractive, but then they take a lot of risks. So even if in some groups, they take those risks and then they come back to us, but in the meantime, we, of course, we have unhappy customers. So here we have to manage accordingly our strategy to penetrate the market, communicate and be present, and I don't see a big shift to third party, but this is certainly a risk. Did I answer your question, Mr. Grossman?
Yes, I have one more if I can. Forgot to ask that one.
Yes?
I haven't seen the number of employee development on the servicing side. If I heard it correctly, you have also invested into people that need to be trained and cannot
yes.
be built. But can you give us here a number how that has developed compared to the year end, for instance?
Sure. So the hiring, we have hired between 40 and 50 people since the beginning of the year to develop our service activities. And from a training perspective, we said we will train 8,000 days of training. We put invest in 8,000 days this year. Today we are not at 50% of the program. Because of course it's not linear in one side, even if we had much less to do in Switzerland, but other sites were very busy, so of course it's cross all product lines, and we will be lower than this, we will not achieve these 8,000 days of training, but we are continuing to invest heavily in these skills and development of people.
That's very helpful, thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Fabian Keller from UBS Zurich. Please go ahead, Fabian.
Good afternoon, everybody. I just have two questions, actually. The first one for my clarification. So you still guide for a full year 12 underlying EBIT at the same level than last year. Is this correct? And the second question would be, do you also still can confirm that the cash inflow from the Pretty disposal is expected in the first quarter 2013. Thanks.
Thank you. I did not get your second question. Can you just repeat the second question, please?
If the cash inflow of the disposal of the Pretty is still expected
okay.
in the first quarter.
Sure. Thank you very
next
much.
Year. Welcome.
Thank you. First question, yes, the EBIT guidance for 2012, we said, will be in line with the EBIT 2011 published. And for the second question, I will give the word to Attilio Tisi.
So for the second question, we will probably be even a little bit higher than planned for the cash we will already receive this year. So we should be around 30 million we should receive this year, which would then mean that we would have a remaining 55 for next year. And this should be received by the end of Q1.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Thomas Bowman from MindFirst Zurich. Please go ahead, Thomas.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Two questions from my side. On the volume, i.e. on the revenue side, I mean, it seems that we have some sort of a post-Drupa boom, and probably also that clients and customers have some catch-up potential. I mean, I see that, I hear that. On the other side, I hear also your comments with regard to what's going on in the marketplace. And my question here is, how big is the risk that the better than expected or the better than previously expected volume development in 2012 goes at the cost of volume next year in 2013? I know it's too early to assess, the markets are fragile, as you pointed out, but what is the feeling you get from the marketplace? I mean, how big is the risk that we could see lower sales again in 2013? And in connection with that, I mean, you probably have your order books pretty full. Can you sort of comment on the spillover effect that you have from the Drupa in 2013? I could imagine that on the WebFed side, their orders have longer lead times, that you already got the orders for delivery in 2013. That's the first sort of question. The second question goes with regard to sort of an EBIT bridge, if I may do that. I mean, if I consider the one-off costs that you had last time, and it's all related to your guidance with unchanged EBIT, which stands at some sort of 27.5 or whatever the number is. I mean, you have 8 million less one-offs compared to last year. You have the GT improvements, which should be 27 million. You have the government grants to the tune of 20 million if you take the 6 million from the short-term work as well. I give you the credit of having less volume and then obviously the Drupa cost, but all in all, if I do the math, then on a like-for-like basis, the results should have been better, some 30 million in the full year. Now, I heard you all the negative effects that you have, mix and service and so on. So obviously the 30 million have gone in these negative effects. And here comes my question, I'm sorry to be so long. How optimistic are you, and if so, do you have any evidence at this point in time that the further savings that you have, that you target for 2013, actually the 20 million and then the 24 million in 14 will actually drop to the EBIT line so that we sort of finally see positive results from the enormous restructuring and re-engineering efforts that you do? Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas, for these questions. I will try to be as complete and short as possible. Certainly, after Drupa, we have seen a very encouraging order entry level. Certainly, that was somewhat of a catch-up of what was not done during the first months of this year. What we should really try to answer your questions about, is it a bubble and then it will last for a few weeks, or is it a trend? So I will say twofold. First of all, it is a catch-up, but as you have seen in Drupa, we have launched really new products. It's not just a question of fashion and just for refurbishing or new paint, whatever, of our product. It's really, we came out with new product, new technologies, and new productivity improvement. If I take Dicutter, we announced 15% more net output of this machine. So indeed, for our customers, those are big numbers, and they are looking for cost reductions. And that's why if we look at the Flexo Boxed 26 efficient KK, we have here clearly also a new product with waste reductions, energy consumption reductions, setup time reductions, which bring added value to our customers. Therefore, with these eight novelties we brought to the market, we are never certain nowadays. However, we were almost the only one in the packaging industry, in the converting and packaging industry, to bring something new on the market. When you look at our competitors in Drupa, they came with zero novelties, zero. The only other industry which came with big novelties is KDA on the printing, offset printing side of the business. And you can talk to a lot of customers, they say, okay, if I have two highlights or the major highlights in Drupa, it was mainly in our industry, it was KDA Bobs, and of course the digital printing show from various suppliers. So with that, it put Bobs again on the leadership in technology. Now, how it will affect the 13, don't take that as a guidance. It's more a discussion, an open debate. With all the uncertainty we see, we are confident that in fact we will be able to make people or customers very interested. Now we can start to make a payback analysis on their product portfolio regarding change now, change later, and so on. And we have new deals and big deals which are very interesting. On the other side, the big question is availability of cash and the ability of customers to find these financials, because as you know, the banks are more and more nervous, they ask for more and more a guarantee, and it's also more expensive. So I cannot today give you more guidance, but certainly from a product, technology and positioning on the market, we feel on a very I will say constructive and positive side. It doesn't mean we will secure orders for 2013, that I don't know. I can give you some guidance on the backlog. We know, and as you said, for business unit WebFed, the lead time is longer, and today we see per segment and some regions good activities, strong activities. However, in Europe, where yes, last year we have made a very good year, this year is very, very difficult. So, of course, the product mix is different, and we are somewhat skeptic for Europe for next year. We are very, quite nervous, and we have to see. Frankly, I cannot say more today. On the EBIT level, exactly what you said. All activities we had to manage during H1 had a very big impact on the results and the profitability of the May site, no doubt. And very, very difficult to say exactly the precise number, and I will give you, will give the word to Attilio, so I will give you some other guidance. But certainly for us, the full group transformation is a necessity, remains exactly right. It's a must, and we will make the necessary efforts for this site to go back to the profitability we know and we should achieve. But the road is still quite difficult, and Attilio, maybe you have some more comments.
As you mentioned, Mr. Baumann, the numbers we gave to the public was that out of the group transformation program phase two, we expect 40 million profit improvement by the end of 2012, then raising up to 60 million by the end of 2013. Within this, it is very important to understand that with the way we have chosen a very sustainable way to reduce these 420 working places, we have negotiated this approach also with the SECO and with the Workers' Council and the unions, which made that the people leave slower than we could have done. In order to allow us to do this, also to help the people to find a new job before they have to leave Bobs, the SECO and the local authorities gave us this governmental grant. So we have this year one-off revenues, you know, we have communicated, which will be replaced then next year due to the fact that the cost savings we have for the people leaving will be cost effective full year, which is not the case this year. So it is important to well understand that the governmental grants we touched this year are included in the 40 million and cannot be calculated on top. Our challenge is that we have to and are well on the way to put measures in place already this year which substitute this one-off next year with recurring savings.
Yeah, that's fully understood. I mean, it's a 40 million from the phase two, and by the way, it's also a remainder of 7 million from phase one, so it makes it 47 million altogether. But my question is here, you know, with your unchanged guidance, it means that these 47s are eaten up by all the negative effects that I very well understand and that you have explained very well. But my question is, for 2013, it is the target to come up with an additional incremental 20 million savings, and you know, the question is, how optimistic are you that these 20 million will finally show up in the P&L and not get eaten up by, as in 2012, negative other effects? That was my question.
Yeah, maybe here, certainly what we have demonstrated that when we make this group transformation and the savings, we can find them in the P&L, but you're right, in 2012 we had this extraordinary situation which makes quite complex to read. Today we are well on track, and we will continue to make these measures, and in 2013 the move is done. Most of the headcount reduction will have been announced and transferred, because as you know, some activities we need to find suppliers. And if we had these 2.5 million amortization to make for first semester, is because we made some decisions to stop some activities and we had to amortize that. And therefore, we will continue to look for to optimize our manufacturing footprint in May. And this process, some decisions will come during H2 or beginning of next year. And we will continue to streamline that. We are very careful. All targets on G&A, if you want, as well as on the pure cost we can manage, are on track or even better. But we need to lower our, I would say, break-even of the production footprint here in May. And that takes another 6 to 12 months minimum.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We have a question now from Patrick Raffaith from SET AB Zurich. Please go ahead, Patrick.
Yes, just one follow-up regarding your payroll expenses or personal expenses for the second half. I understand we had short-time working in the first half, and we'll have a ramp-up in activity in the second half. Does that, and in addition, you'll have temporary workers for the first few months, as you mentioned. Does that mean that overall personnel expenses will be higher in the second half than in the first half?
I cannot give an exact figure like that, but it's correct that we have roughly 6 million revenues out of or cost participation out of the RHD in the first half. On the other side, we also book, we don't accrue for it, we also book the bonus payments, the variable salary payments we make in the first and second quarter when they are paid. So typically, if you compare 2011, we in the past we had higher personnel costs in the first half than in the second half, so it might be balanced over the year. The temp staff you will not find in the line personnel costs, as these are services we purchase from outside. You will find this in the line raw materials and services.
Okay, thanks.
There's currently no more questions coming through. In fact, we have one question coming through from Caroline Price from Caprice Management, Montreal again. Please go ahead, Caroline.
Thank you. Sorry, just based on the answer that you gave to Patrick on the personnel costs, but I had asked before about the government support. So did it go in other operating income, or did it go as a reduction of personnel costs? I just want to be clear on that.
Yes, Caroline, it's two different positions. When you have people working on short-time week, the same entity which gave us the support you find in other operating income, which is the, what we call AIT, Aide à l'initiation au travail, they pay a part of the salary of those people who are not working, who were off 1.5 day per week. This part, the short-time week, this is accounted as a credit on the personal cost line, whereas the 6.7 million, you find it also in the note number 5 in the half-year statement, are recorded as other operating income.
Okay, so the amount for the credit is on top of the 6.7 million, correct?
Yes.
For the short-time work. So
yes.
Could you quantify how much that was, please?
Roughly 6 million.
Thank you.
We currently have no other questions coming through. But as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, please press star 1. At the moment, we have no other questions, so I'll hand back to Mr. Bobs for his closing remarks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to thank you for the interest you show and for your follow-up on our group. You have well understood that within such an unstable business environment, Bob's Group is pursuing its group transformation to deliver the expected sustainable profitability. More information will be given to you during our next meeting for our traditional update on the full year activity, which will take place on December 5th in Zurich. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bobs. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. On behalf of the Bobs Group, thank you for your participation.